week we have a taped interview we did with Kumi Raouf. And Kumi is the brother behind the famous I Love Being Black. If you go to Facebook and type in I Love Being Black, you will see the Kumi site. And he actually has a apparel company. But he's also a world traveler. And most of all, he's a black geek. And so we sat down with Kumi and talked to him for some time. So take a listen to this interview, and we'll be right back.
Hi, y'all. Listening to WHCR 93.3 FM, New York. Yay!
Being black.
Okay. My background, I grew up in California, in a small town. Both of my parents were very, very much into the movement, not just the Afrocentric Black Power movement, but also other movements like natural movements and holistic movements, which essentially are African as well at their base. So that's from whence I came. And, you know, even though we grew up in California, we didn't grow up in the blackest neighborhood. Actually, it was definitely not black. My parents, they definitely felt it was important to engulf us in as much Africanity as possible. So, you know, even after school, we would come home, and my mom created something she just called Freedom School back in the day.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was myself, my older brother, my two younger sisters, and then other black kids around the neighborhood that she would invite them and their parents, which was key. She would invite them and their parents to be a part of this Freedom School. She felt that it was very important to not only invite other kids, other black kids in the community over, but also invite their parents because, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. You can't just expect one person to educate the kids, because then really you're just creating little copies of yourself, right? So it takes a lot of us and the collective knowledge that we've gained to be able to adequately disseminate this information to the next generation. And that's what she was trying to build. And so she's been an educator even before, you know, she went into any classrooms and did stuff like that. You know, I come from a family of educators, actually. For my grandma, you know, on down. So we would learn a lot. I mean, she would put on like African cartoons. We'd be watching, you know, Anansi the Spider, or we'd be watching some, you know, some educational components from Black America. We'd be learning about different cultures, different African cultures or different black cultures in other areas. And then we'd also go over the regular, you know, math, science, English type of stuff as well that we went over in school, just to make sure that we were on point and at the top of the class when it came to that kind of stuff. So that's the way, way background. And then, you know, of course I went to the University of California, Santa Barbara. I studied computer science. And just kind of went from there, man. You know,
I want to stop you right there for a second and ask, what led you to pick computer science? Like, what was the passion or what was the interest in computer science?
That's something that people don't normally ask. But, you know, honestly, I liked numbers as a kid, and part of that, I look back and I sort of ask myself, did I really like numbers or was that my parents doing? You know, because you hear so many times that you're good at something, you start to like it more. You know, my parents, especially my mom, she would always tell me, you are so good at math. Oh, you are so good at math. How did you figure that out? This and that. And I began to be like, wow, I'm getting compliments off of this stuff. Like, I want to learn more about it. You know, and I was doing algebra in sixth grade, and once I saw those X's and Y's, I was like, wow, this is amazing. I want to learn more about this. Started messing with computers back then during the real floppy disks. You know, we're talking the 5 1/4s, you know, the ones that actually flopped.
87, 88, 89.
Yeah. Apple IIcs and all that good stuff. We had a bunch of those, and you know, that's kind of where the seed was dropped. Definitely started with my mom and my dad. You know, my dad worked for the San Jose Fire Department, and you know, he was an engineer as well. So he was always telling us the stuff and making these things relevant. You know, because it's one thing to be good at things in school, and another thing to actually enjoy them in real life and think that they're relevant and want to apply them in your actual life somewhere.
Right.
So, you know, that one thing led to another, and I just continued to enjoy math and to see its relevancy in real life. You know, I'd be just when you get to a street corner, you know, let's say you're walking straight and then you're going to make a right. You know, I'd say, well, why don't I just cut through diagonally? Everybody knows that it saves time, but a lot of people don't exactly know why, and they don't know that they're walking on a hypotenuse right there. You know, and I just as a kid, I would think about stuff like that. And I'm like, you know, the hypotenuse is always shorter than the two legs, you know, unless it's an isosceles triangle. But anyway, I digress. And so that one thing led to another, and also my brother choosing computer science when he went to when he went to college, that was huge too. You know, because I was like, should I choose math? Should I choose some sort of science? I don't know. He chose computer science, and, you know, I'm 2 years younger than him, so whatever he does is like sort of what I'm doing as well that age. So, you know, I chose it. I actually chose computer science without knowing exactly what it was. I remember my first class at UC Santa Barbara, it was CS10 in Java. It was Intro to Java. I was like, wait, you want me to program this computer to do that? Okay, yeah, I don't even, you know, okay, yeah, I guess I can try, you know. Ended up getting like a C- in that class and saying, okay, you know, I don't know if this is for me, but I stuck with it. You know, I stuck with it, and that was definitely a really difficult program to go through, difficult engineering program to go through, but I made it through, went into the industry for, you know, for a few years. Oh, let me rewind a little bit.
So talk about what made it kind of difficult for you. And how you were able to overcome what you felt was difficult. Even if it's only like a couple of minutes, it's just still having that reference.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, computer science was a difficult path to take, not only because it was there was a ton of other people in it. You know, some of the classes, you couldn't even get a class because there were so many people trying to take it. Because computers were, you know, this is back in the late 90s. I'm dating myself here, but back in the late 90s, you know, Java was very, very new. Most people didn't even know what it was as a programming language, and it was doing all these new things that other languages just didn't do, this automatic garbage collection and this and that and stuff you didn't have to worry about or stuff you don't have to worry about anymore. It was doing that stuff automatically. So even some of the professors didn't know what they were doing. And it ended up being the TAs that were teaching us this new stuff. I mean, UC Santa Barbara, it's a research institution, so a lot of the professors don't have your best interest in mind. They really want to do research, and teaching is a distant second. So if you don't have the drive to kind of get things done and to study and to learn this stuff, you know, they're definitely not going to hold your hand at you know, the top level of this educational pyramid. They're not going to hold your hand and make sure that you get stuff. I think I only had two professors that really, really cared if the class got it or not. The other ones were just there. They were just literally there because they had to be. If they didn't teach you know, a certain level of courses and a certain level, certain number of years, then they wouldn't be able to do research and bring in $20 million grants. So they were like, okay, we'll just teach a little bit. But yeah, you know, even my CS20 professor, when we did the data structures class, I still remember this. He taught, the class was in Java, again, on data structures, but the book was in Turbo Pascal.
Oh.
That's ridiculous. That's like learning French, and the book is in Spanish. You know, so you had to go to the office hours every single time and speak to the TAs, the teaching assistants, and learn a bunch of stuff from them, and then look online to try to learn stuff. And I'm like, well, why am I here in this? Why am I paying you guys all this money for school if I can learn stuff online? You know, which I'll talk about a little bit later on. But anyway, the professor for that course ended up leaving UC Santa Barbara to go help start some search engine, and everybody's like, oh, this guy's dumb. We already have Yahoo and InfoSeek and whatever else was around back in 1996, and that search engine ended up being Google. And he
hold
ended
on a
up
second.
Being
hold on a second.
Yeah.
You okay? You all right? I'm working on it. I'm also doing an interview. Sorry.
That's all right.
No, yeah, you good.
He ended up helping to start Google. He was the vice president of engineering at Google, Urs Holtz. Yeah, not a very good teacher, but apparently a smart businessman.
Right.
But yeah, you know, a lot of these things, you would literally have to just dive into it and stay there, and you would have to think like a computer. That's what helped me get through these courses, because I literally was trying to think like the computer was thinking. And trying to, you know, take input and give output exactly how a computer would do it. And you know, that definitely helps, because engineering is tough. Computer science is very tough. But the key is that it's tough during school, but if you really learn your stuff when you're out and you have that, you know, bachelor's of science or you know, BA or whatever you get in computer science, getting a job is going to be a lot easier on average than it is than if you got, you know, maybe something in other degrees or other realms, right? So computer science, I still get offers from people today, you know, Facebook wanting to interview me, Microsoft, all the big guys, all the way down to like small, you know, niche boutique firms are trying to get me in the door. And I'm like, you know what, that was a while ago. I left in 2008 and just never looked back.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
I was going to rewind and I was going to rewind and say about the inception and the story about how I Love Being Black started, because I was actually in college.
Yes. Okay, cool.
Okay, yeah. So went to UC, University of California, Santa Barbara, 2.7% black, right? So as you can imagine, there's not many of us around, maybe 400 or 500 black people around, and that's on paper. You wouldn't actually see that many black people around. So we did anything and everything to hang on to our blackness and our cohesiveness as a community, doing things collectively, which ended up, you know, being a silver lining, because every time you would see a black person, you'd be so happy to see them. You would speak every single time. Every single time you would speak. You know, sometimes we would even miss class just because we saw other black people and we wanted to, you know, we wanted to talk, and we weren't getting that. So, you know, something got created called Black Wednesday. And every Wednesday, the black people would just kick it. And we would just talk, and, you know, some people would miss class, some people would go to their classes and then come back after class. We would always get our stuff done, you know, classwork and all that stuff. You know, you didn't have to go to class to get the classwork done sometimes. But, yeah, you know, and we would also have static with other people, other communities, and even within our own community sometimes. And I ended up creating this phrase, I love being black. You know, people would treat us like if you had one wish, you would wish to not be black because it's so hard and so this and so that and whatever. And, you know, I said, you know, don't get me wrong. We go through things as a community. We deal with stuff, but I love being black. And one of my buddies was there. He was like, say that again. I said, man, I love being black. And that just evolved into my thing, my saying on campus. I eventually put it on a T-shirt and wore it around campus. So, you know, I'd love to say that it was some wonderful business move in X, Y, and Z, but it wasn't. It was something that was born out of the necessity for something positive. That's it. We need this. We see enough on the flip side. We see enough negativity in things that are attacking our community, whether they're from the inside or the outside, that we need something positive. We need a positive affirmation of ourselves. And also what it helps do is it helps you to define why you love being black, because it's not going to be the same for everybody, which is also a thing of beauty in its own, because there's so many different reasons.